Well, bless the Lord. Good day to you. This is Minister Leonard Lucas III. On today, you're going to be taught God's Word, but not only His Word, we're going to better understand His mind and our purpose as a kingdom leader. We need to understand that we are people of purpose, and when we understand that we were created for a purpose, we must stay focused on the assignment that God has given. Because God is a life source, and with Him, we're always empowered. So without further ado, let's dive into what God has for us today. Today, I'm going to talk about a very interesting teaching, and it's called the power of deliverance. First thing I'm going to do, like I do in all of my teachings, is define the word deliver, because it helps us to get clarity about the teaching. The word deliver means to set free or liberate. We have to also understand that for something to be liberated means it was once bound. And it's going to be great to do this teaching because I want us to understand that God didn't deliver us from a perfect situation. He delivered us because we were in a chaotic mess. Now, come on, somebody talk to me. God didn't deliver us out of a perfect situation. You wasn't always the holier-than-thou person that you are now. You wasn't the person speaking in tongues. You wasn't the person seeking after God, thirsty after, searching for, you're so thirsty for God, so hungry for God. You weren't that person that you are now. You were in a mess. You were in a chaotic situation. All of us were in an imperfect situation, and God had to take us out of that situation. We were bound by our own sins. We were bound by alcoholism. We were bound by drugs. We were bound by a sexual immorality. We were bound by these things. But God, in His grace and His mercy, He saved us. We all came out of bondage some way or another. We can play church today, but we got to understand that God saved us from something. Being liberated plays a significant role in deliverance because in order to be delivered, we have to know and confess that we were bound to something. See, in order to be delivered out of your situation, you have to know that you were bound. You have to know that you were bound by your alcoholism. You have to know that you were bound by drugs. You have to know that you were bound by being sexual promiscuous. And when that thing tried to overtake you and it was overtaking you, what happened was you called on a source and God came and snatched you out of that situation because you called upon His name. Go back 15, 20, some of us 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years ago and remember what you were doing back then. Remember how you were in sin and you were having fun like you were saying. You were going to the clubs. You were doing your thing. Nobody couldn't stop you from doing your thing because you thought you can do bad all by yourself. But God, in His awesome grace, in His awesome love, snatched you out of your bondage to save you from your own self. We got to understand that the devil did not do this to you. You have to understand that. The devil doesn't have that power. You only have that power to put yourself under a bondage. See, demons don't have power and authority to put you under a bondage, to make you a sin. What they do is feed you the things that they know you already have a problem with dealing with. If a demon knows that you have a problem with alcoholism, guess what? What it's going to do? It's going to feed you alcohol. It's going to say, hey, take that drink. Hey, if you have a problem with smoking, it's going to say, hey, smoke that cigarette. It's going to feed you the thing that you like so that you can destroy yourself. See, the devil doesn't have any power to destroy you. It only can feed you what you like so that you can destroy yourself. See, demons are smart. They're knowing ones. So they know they can't feed you something that you don't like because you're not low in that area. See, if you're not sexually promiscuous, a demon's not going to feed you a woman or a man because it knows that you are mature in that area. But in the area that you're not mature in, and that you're still fighting, you're still warring in, guess what's going to happen? That demon is going to be smart enough to feed you what you're still lacking in that area. God didn't bring us to salvation because we were holy saints doing the will of God. No, he saved us because our mind and heart were so corrupted that Jesus had to come into our lives to save us from our own foolishness. Let's go into a verse of scripture. Mark 2 and 17 says, on hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. See, the reason why Jesus called you out and came you out, because he was called to you. Because you were a sinner. You wasn't walking up in righteousness when God called you up. You were doing what you like. You were on the path of destruction. But because God loved you enough, oh my God, he took you out of that bondage to save you from destroying your own self and walking into a corrupted form of life. So we need to go ahead and just give God praise now because he has saved us from our foolish self. Father, I just want to give you the praise. Father, I just want to give you the honor. Father, I just want to give you the glory from saving me from myself. Not from anybody else, not from what everybody else was doing, but from saving me from my own foolishness. Father, I want to give you the praise. I want you to understand today the reason why you are able to walk in the fullness of your faith and salvation is because Christ understood that you were imperfect being, directionless on your way to destruction. That's the reason why we can walk into the fullness of our faith, because Christ saved us. Christ saved us from our foolishness. He understood that we were directionless. But he came in, swooped us, so that we can walk into the fullness of our purpose and our destiny. Because God loved us so much that he saved us from the blindness of our misery. We were so blind and miserable that we believed what was set up as the thing to destroy us and separated us from our destiny as fun and having a good time. How many of you know that we thought that drinking and having a sex and doing drugs was having a good time? But that was the thing that was destroying us from our purpose and our destiny in Christ. We didn't know any better. We thought that was just having a good old time. We thought that was just having some fun. And God, why you don't want us to have any fun? That's what we were telling God. We were telling God that, God, why are you separating me from my fun? All I want to do is have just a little fun. But we didn't understand that that was separating us from our purpose. 2 Corinthians 4 and 4 says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, which is the image of God. Isn't it something that our minds can trick us in the way that we believe that what the enemy has set up to destroy us is good for us? Isn't it something that with the demons were feeding us, that we believed that this was good for us, that we believed that drugs were good for us? It was setting up to destroy us, but we were walking in that way because we thought we was going to have some good fun. We thought we was going to have a good time, but demons were destroying us from our purpose. Didn't you understand? Don't you understand that God saved you from yourself? That God saved you from your unmature, immature, and foolish ways? That he loved you so much that he saved you from your own mind? God loves us so much, he saved us from captivity and restored and renewed us to our proper place in the kingdom. Because he loved us so much, he acted as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. When you did not know what way to go, when you did not know how to move, when you did not know what to say, you could call on the name of the Lord. And he will be your sense of direction. He will be your legs when you can't walk. He will be your mouth when you can't speak. He'll be your eyes when you can't see. See, God loves us so much that even when we was walking in a path of destruction, even when we were directionless people, that he took us out of the misery and out of the blindness of out of our suffering and saved us and restored us. Isn't God good that he loved you? Just little old you, no matter what state or territory or country that you're listening on this podcast. Isn't he so great that he loved you so much that he saved you from what your family was doing, your iniquitous nature, sins passed down from different genealogies and generations. Your grandfather was an alcoholic, and now you're an alcoholic, going from your great-great-great-grandfather, but he saved you. Isn't it great that God saved you from this? Watch this. Look at your neighbor. If you don't have a neighbor, look at yourself. You don't need a PhD when you walk into the favor of God. Because favor will move you in places that your PhD can't move you in. Because when you are anointed and favored by God, nothing this earthly kingdom can do to reject, deny, destroy, tear down what the government of the kingdom of heaven has set in place for you. I want you to know that God loves you so much that even through our wickedness, even through our mishaps and misturns, he tarries with us to move us into the glory of his spirit. I want to talk to you today about the power and understanding of deliverance. Because deliverance is a powerful tool to move into restoration of the favor of God, to build a new covenant foundation with God. And God can't restore you if you're still bound and don't want to be delivered. See, we got to understand, if we still want to walk into our own destruction, if we still want to be bound, God can't restore us because we're going to mess up what God has placed for our destiny. So either you got to come out or you got to stay bound. You got to make that decision when you walk into this walk, this faith walk, putting on the fullness of the Spirit of God. You got to understand that either you're going to stay bound in your own mess and destruction, or you got to come out and be delivered from that mess and foolishness that you've been in. God can't restore you if you're still bound and you don't want to be delivered. He will let that sin take control of you before he will restore you without being delivered. Why? Because God understands that if he restores you while you're still messed up, you're going to wreck and mess up the purpose that God has for your life. Because you're going to be under subjection to your sin, which will keep you bound and hinder you and blind you from what God wants to do in your life. And so we have to come to a conclusion in our minds. Will we repent and start the process of God's working and new thing in us? Or will we stay bound to our own sin and foolishness? See, deliverance isn't easy. Because in order for us to be restored, we have to repent of the sins we have committed. The Bible says in 1 John 1 and 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from our unrighteousness. But because our flesh is puffed up, we don't want to repent because it shows our association to sin. See, when we repent, it shows our association to sin. And to repent means we need fixing. And some of us don't want to say that we need fixing. We're perfect people. Sometimes we believe just because we're not doing what other people are doing, just because we're not practicing into promiscuity or we're not practicing in homosexuality, that we're perfect. But how many of you know you can be self-righteous? How many of you know that you can be judgmental? How many of you know you can be walking into all those different things? And we got to understand, there's no such sin as a bigger sin. You can be an adulterer. And just because you think your sin is not bigger than homosexuality, how many of you know that your sin is the same? Adultering or cheating on your wife is the same as homosexuality. It's the same as lying. It's the same as being judgmental and being self-righteous. They're all the same sin. See, the thing is, we don't want to be fixed. Some of us want to stay in the same condition we have been, because if we are delivered, we have to separate from the thing we've been delivered from. And the word separate means to force apart. And when we are forced to do something, it means we don't want to do it. When you are forced to do something, That means you didn't want to do it in the first place. See, God had to take us away from our sin. We were fighting. We wanted to stay in our own boundaries. We wanted to stay drinking. We wanted to stay a smoking reefer. We wanted to stay shooting up drugs and doing cocaine. We wanted to stay doing those things because we wanted to be bound. But God had to force us out of that. See, we didn't want to go to God. We didn't want to be new creatures, being new creatures in the Spirit of God. We didn't want to be that. We didn't want to walk into this new walk. No. We wanted to be abound. But we had to understand that God had to force us away from our sin. If we could have it our own way right now and be in our fleshly self, we would still walk in sin. If there was a way that we can sin and everything be all right, come on, somebody, we would be going to the sinner's party. Come on. I know I would. I'm not even going to lie to you. If there was a way where I could go to heaven and still sin and do all the things of the world and drink and smoke, come on, somebody, I'd be the first person on that party bus. But because God has called me, because God has saved me, because God has called me out of that, I have to follow what the Father has put inside of me. I have to walk into the direction that the Father has put inside of me. I have to follow the rules and the guidelines that God has set up. The governmental order that God has set up. Because now I am a person of the kingdom of God. And yes, I may be in this world, but I am not of this world. Let's look at Isaiah 55 and 7. It says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he would have compassion on him, and to our God. And let him return to the Lord, and he would have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." See, because we are a new creature in Christ, there are consequences for our actions. And now that we walk into righteousness, we have to be responsible for our actions. See, while we were sinners, there was no accountability. But now that we are out of the world, we're accountable for our actions. See, now that we're walking as new creatures in Christ, we're accountable for what I do. We can't go around and sin anymore. We can't go around and drink anymore because God has placed his anointing upon us. God has placed his favor upon us. God has put his Spirit inside of us. And what we used to do, we can't no longer do that anymore because God has transformed us. God has changed our mindset. And so we have to understand as representatives of the kingdom of God, and as long as we represent God, we can't do what we want. But because we are under spiritual authority, under the governorship and rulership of the Spirit of God, we have consequences for our action because now we are governmental officers. I may be talking to some people in the fivefold ministry right now, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I want you to understand there's some consequences that you're going to have to walk through when you walk into these offices. I want you to understand, just like if you were in the army, let's say if you were in the army and you were a private and the general gave you instructions and an assignment, whatever that assignment may be, and you didn't do it, don't you know there was the consequences that you're going to have to face? You could get discharged. There could be some disciplinary action. So just like in the natural world, how the spiritual governmental authority is set up, if you don't do what God has assigned for you to do, there's going to be some consequences you're going to have to go through because you did not honor what God had established. See, God has made us as a mature officer in his kingdom, and we can't act like the world, but we have to act like representatives of Christ. We can no longer act like the world, my friends, but we have to act like representatives of Christ. We have to walk into this new dispensation of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. We have to know that what we once used to do, we can no longer do because we walk into the fullness of the Spirit. Now we've been transformed. Now our mind has been transformed. Now our spirit has been renewed. Now our thought process, we no longer think like we used to think. And so what I want you to understand this, as I'm getting ready to close because I only have 20 minutes to do this, is I want you to understand this, that you may be going through some situations in your life. You may be going through some problems, but I want you to understand, if that situation is making you bow, I want you to know, all you got to do is call on Jesus and watch. He would take you out of that boundness. He would take you out of that misery. I want you to understand this, my friends. Don't think no matter what you're going through, Jesus can fix it. No matter what problem you're going through, Jesus can fix it. Don't think that he cannot fix it. I want you to understand Jesus can fix that problem. And so today, my friends, on the Power of Deliverance, as I'm getting ready to finish, I want you to understand that all you got to do is call on Jesus. All you got to do is repent and say, Father, forgive me for my sins. I know what I did, but Father God, let your grace rain down upon me. And I want you to know, as you begin to say that prayer, as you begin to say, Father God, cleanse me of my wicked ways. Move me into what you want to move me in. Pour me, anoint me, pour a new fullness of your spirit inside of me so that I can see what you want me to see, so I can do what you want me to do. And I tell you that, my friends, as you begin to do that, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is going to flow inside of you. You're going to be a new creature in Christ, and God is going to do something in your life like you never seen before. It was a great time teaching you on today. This is the tape 3, track 3 on the 6-part series. And we're going to be moving into some more series. But I want you to understand this as I'm getting ready to close. That don't matter what situation you go through, that you can be delivered from that situation. If you're bound by a situation right now, no matter what you may be bound with, let me just pray for you right now. Let's pray this together. Father, come into my life. Cleanse me from my nature. Yes, I know I may have done different things, but you have an unconditional love. And Father, I ask you now to cleanse me. Give me a new heart. Give me a new mind. Fill me with your spirit today. Change my nature. And I want to be so connected to you that I'm going to be separated from my sin. Father God, I ask you today to cleanse me, to renew me, and to revive me from this day forward until the end of my day here on earth. People of God, I want you to know if you prayed that prayer, that God heard that prayer, and God is going to take you and separate you apart from whatever had you bound. I don't care if it's a financial situation. I don't care if it's your husband. I don't care if it's your drug addiction or if it's your alcoholism. I want you to know if you prayed that prayer today, God heard you and you're coming out. I want you to say this 3 times and I'm going to get ready to close. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. Let's say it one more time. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I want you to know this, my friends, that no matter what situation that you're going through, you're coming out. And you're going to come out more than a conqueror. God bless you. And we're going to see you on track 4. God bless you.